This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Ironically, the Padres got their best pitching performance of the weekend in the game that they lost on Saturday. Welcome back. It's Ben and Woods, hour number two. We're going to be taking your phone calls here. Padres fans, 833-288-0973. But Matt Waldron did a really nice job on Saturday night with five innings, three hits, just one run, did walk four, but struck out four, and putting together back-to-back solid starts out of the fifth spot in the Padres rotation. The real question mark, even coming out of spring training, that fifth spot, Matt Waldron has done a really nice job, Woods, even though Gavin Stone did a better job that night, and he had his best start of the season, retiring the first 15 batters he faced in what turned into a 5-2 Dodgers win on Saturday.
I did feel a little bit like, let me ask you this question. Without that win on Friday night, do you think Schilt runs that lineup out there Saturday? Not that you'd ever punt a game. We have big league players. They are big leaguers that were in there. We didn't call up a bunch of spares to play, but it was a bit of a B lineup, I would say. With the guys at the bottom.
There's really just one change in the lineup.
Higgy.
Well, okay. I mean, you have to give Luis Camposano a day off.
Okay,
eventually.
So day off's the interesting thing. The incredible Boomer came out a little bit from me on Saturday. When the lineup came out, I looked and I said, I feel that Xander Bogaerts should be in this lineup. I did. And the Boomer in me said, days off are great and everybody needs them and they deserve them, certainly. Not in this series, not needing... Polly has turned me green again. Not in this series, not for what you make. Is that a fair... Do you think that's an unfair statement to make?
No, I do think it's an unfair statement to make.
So he was not hurt.
I'm somewhere in the middle between both of your opinions here.
So, I think you can judge it.
A day off is a day off.
I think you can judge it at the end of the season. If Xander asks for 30 days off over the course of the year, then yeah, of course.
That's not what I'm saying.
Everybody is going to get some days off.
Okay, hold on.
And you have to stagger them.
Well, fine. Stagger them. Not then. You want to give Campy a day off because he's your catcher? Fine. And you put Higgy at the bottom, big deal. And I know Xander...
That's going to happen once a series, no matter what.
Right. I understand scuffling. I understand needing to clear your head. Whatever, man. How many games did Mookie sit this series?
None.
What about Freddie Freeman?
None.
How about Shohei?
None.
What about Will Smith?
None.
What about Max Muncy?
None.
So... The Boomer in me was like, bro, we need you. Like, we need you even if you're not at 100% or whatever it may be.
He's also been fairly ice cold at the plate.
Well, how does a guy with that much track record and that much cash get out of a slump? It's not going to be from sitting. Take a day off in Milwaukee was my only point. Like, I want my best nine available in that series. That's it. That's the only That's the only thing I thought of.
I see your point. I mean, the Jackson Merrill fan in me was really excited to see him at the top of the order.
Oh, absolutely.
We talked about last week a little bit, finally happening already.
And by the way, you absolutely could have batted Jackson Merrill leadoff and had Xander Bogaerts in that lineup. You know, I thought that. And it did enter my mind, and I went, man, these are the guys, like, those that nucleus needs to be out there, and especially against these games. I realize it's just one series in April. I do. But I want my best, at least highest paid guys out there. How many times did we run Eric Hosmer out there because we were paying him? Every game? Like, that's kind of where I was at, man. And so, you know, that's the only thing. And then, like, not even pinch hitting later in the game. And I understand there's managers that are like, when I say day off, I mean day off. Sorry, man. Like, that doesn't.
And Schilt before the game had said, yeah, no, Xander's going to, he's going to pinch hit. He'll get his double late in the game. So it sounded like he was planning on pinch hitting him, but then he never did. In a game, the Padres were still in. They got the tying run to home plate two times in the ninth inning, even with the 5-2 loss. And while Gavin Stone was very good, Padres hit some balls hard that game.
They did. Dodgers
only had 8 singles, and I think only 2 or 3 of them were even struck particularly well. Yeah. It wasn't the luckiest game for the Padres. You know, you did have the incident in the sixth inning when the fifth inning when Jurickson Profar squared around to bunt on the first pitch, took it for a ball, and then the second pitch was high and tight, you know, just kind of under his chest, and he reacted strongly and, you know, had words with Will Smith, and then the bench is cleared, and then the bullpen's cleared, and everybody came and met around home plate. No punches were thrown or anything, and the thinking there was, Jurickson thought that the Dodgers were throwing at him because he was trying to pull a Ben Davis. And, yeah, you know, old Padres fans remember what I'm talking about. Curt Schilling's no-hitter that was broken up by a Ben Davis bunt. And Curt Schilling never forgave Ben Davis for that. You can't bunt to break up a no-hitter, he said. Even though the Padres were down just 2 runs and needed to get the tying run to the plate. I don't subscribe to that, but there are certain old-school baseball people who do. And I think Jurickson felt like the Dodgers were sending him a message. Don't try to bunt to break up the no-hitter, and they threw at him on purpose. Now, what Jurickson didn't realize, and he admitted later, he didn't realize it was also a perfect game.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to hit a guy and break up your perfect game, so they wouldn't have thrown at him intentionally. And he very candidly said, yeah, I misunderstood that situation,
yeah,
and that was on me in that game. But that essentially is what happened on Saturday night, that Jurickson thought they were trying to send him a message like, hey, don't bunt when our guy is working on a no-hitter. And I don't think the Dodgers were actually doing that.
Buddy, and again, I mean, you're talking about the same Jurickson Profar that got into a screaming match with Clayton Kershaw about how hard he swung that one time. And then you're talking about the team that Dave Roberts absolutely soiled his diaper that one
time
when Trent Grisham.
Jurickson, he got a catcher's interference. It was a late swing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Clayton Kershaw was going like, you tried to get a catcher's interference there to get on base. And they jawed back and forth on that incident. So there's some history there.
And you're talking about a team, you know, Dave just filled his diaper that one time when Grisham hit a bomb, looked at it for 1 second, and then ran down to first and said, you don't do that off of a Hall of Famer. Like, stop telling us how to play our brand of baseball. Nobody tells you guys that what you're doing is wrong. You know, nobody's going to tell you guys that the way that you play is wrong. You know, you're not baseball Jesus. You're not the baseball all time. Like, you know what I'm saying? So there's some history there certainly with these teams, and I love it. I think it's chippy. It's nice to have a guy that at least gets tries to fire his teammates up as well. Would I like Jurickson Profar playing against him? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No question. No question. But he's ours. I love it. I think it's great. And, you know, chippy's always fine. Nobody got hurt. You know, nobody got drilled. Nobody got dotted.
Jurickson's been so fantastic.
He's been amazing.
Early in the season for the Padres. No one could have dreamt this. What, 7 RBI and 2 swings this past week,
yeah,
in a grand slam and a bases-clearing 3-run double. He is leading the Padres, I think, in a lot of offensive extra base hits, second in batting average, leading in OPS. I mean, that was nothing that we ever dreamed of being possible from Jurickson Profar early in the season. I'm only surprised. Padres are only 500. Feels like they've played better than 500.
No question,
through the first,
man.
what, 18 games of the season so far. So we're pushing back our regular segments of Take on Woods and Don't Do This so we can talk to Padres fans. All Padres talk here early in the show. Let's go out to the phone lines, 833-288-0973. You got Eric first up this morning with Ben and Woods. Eric, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. Good Monday morning.
Hey, good Monday morning.
Good morning.
Still recovering from my real or fake loss last week.
Oh, it happens. Sorry about that.
Happy to talk Padres ball, and I'll be honest, Woods, you and I completely on the same page. You can't rest Bogarts against the Dodgers.
Right.
Milwaukee. But I'm a Braves fan first and foremost. In San Diego, obviously a fan, trying to go to as many games as possible, follow the team, all that good stuff. Against the Phillies, the Braves don't rest Albies or Acuna or Riley or Olsen, right? They're all out there.
100%.
Everybody's out there. You beat the Phillies, you beat the Dodgers, right? That's your goal. And then, so I absolutely agree with that. I think it was great. I also, the big thing that I saw from the Padres this series against the Dodgers, which hopefully they can roll into it, is seventh inning or later production.
Yeah.
I think Tatis, seventh inning, right, I think was his homer to tie it, I think, and then ultimately they won it in extras. Profar, seventh inning at bat, the bases clearing double. You look at a lot of those things, the superstars, the late production against Pens, that's really encouraging. And I think what you're not seeing is the general respect that they probably should get with their superstar level that teams like the Dodgers and the Braves are getting, because I think you mentioned, you know, Dave Roberts telling Trent Grisham last year, whatever, look at a home run, right? Nobody is telling the Dodgers, no other manager's telling Shohei Ohtani not to do that,
of course.
Mookie Betts to do that, or Ronald Acuna or any of those guys. I think that this series is going to be pivotal, not only for the Dodgers' confidence level, especially if they go into Milwaukee, hopefully sweep. I think they need a sweep to be like, okay, Dodger series was legitimate. A series win is good, but I think if they go in and sweep, I think it's even better.
Yeah, sweep's always better, but you, on the road, you take a series win. You take your third straight series win all day long. I mean, all day long. And that's going to be another tough test, man. They're a good baseball team.
The late production has been night and day difference from last year. I think the numbers are in the last week. Padres have outscored their opponents 25-4 in the sixth inning and beyond. And all four of those came in the Dodgers' win on Saturday when they scored three in the sixth and one in the seventh. But the Padres could not find late offense last year. I mean, remember how many times they actually scored, you know, four runs in the first inning or two. And then they shut it down last year and ended up losing 5-4, 6-4, or something like that. The late production has been completely night and day different for the San Diego Padres so far this season. What's the difference? I don't know. I mean, yeah, they're certainly showing fight. That's for sure. And maybe it's just a confidence thing. You know, you get a couple of early season successful at-bats late in the game, and all of a sudden you feel like, all right, we're going to do this again, and it just feeds on itself, just like it fed on itself negatively last year. You didn't come through a few times early in the season, and then it was like, here we go again, here we go again. Now it's here we go again, here we go again. It's the opposite feeling of last year.
No question. And we said, you know, in the offseason, man, we need some of these early. We got to kind of set the tone a little bit. And you think back to the games the Padres have lost, and you go, oh, man, like, could have gotten that one, should have gotten that one, should have gotten that one. That's fine. I mean, some of those games are going to, you're going to fritter some games away throughout the course of a season. But there's a couple of games that I've seen early. I'd say three games at least. We had no business winning last year, and we didn't win them last year.
Two of them in the last week. I mean, the Cubs Monday night game, and then Friday night's win.
We haven't gotten into Friday night yet, bro. That's maybe the most nervous I've ever been for extra innings in my entire life. The fact
it's
that
one
we
of my
came
favorite
away
from Padres regular season wins,
no question,
that I've ever seen.
No question.
We'll get to that in a second. But look who's calling in here. He was at Augusta National in the middle of last week. I saw him at Goat Hill Park on Saturday. We got Matty G. Maginella calling in. What about that weekend, Matty?
Oh my gosh, guys! So much to talk about. I wasn't prepared to pivot to golf. I'm all in on this.
Oh yeah,
you know, you can just talk about it.
Yeah, you can just talk about it.
I just happened to mention that he was there, so
was trying to sneak in sneakily a golf.
No. We're talking Padres with Matt. We're talking Padres this morning.
You guys got me so fired up. I want to run through a wall right now. That broadcast was ridiculous. The love on Mookie Betts was just absolutely horrific and frustrating, and I couldn't comprehend it. And the Profar coming through. I mean, and this team just punches back. I said last year we had talent. This year we have chemistry. This team punches back like we wanted them to punch back all last year, and they didn't do it until September. This is so much fun.
It's a blast. It really is. I mean, it is so much fun to watch and knowing, like, hey, if we get down 3-1, no problem. Like, they're going to string something together. I mean, and the way that they're scrapping together and manufacturing some runs. Again, they tried last night another freaking sacrifice bunt, which, by the way, I need to add a caveat. Tyler Wade wants to bunt. Tyler Wade can bunt. That's it. But anybody else laying on it didn't work. Again, it didn't work. Yeah, move them over. For what? Why are we giving away outs?
You know me, Matt. I'm not the biggest intangibles guy. I'm put up the numbers. You're going to win baseball games. But there certainly seems to be something different about Mike Schilt as manager of this team versus Bob Melvin. Bob Melvin, when things were going well, right, in 2022, he had a good light touch, like, hey, we're just going to let this roll. Good, you know, players are fine. I don't need to do anything. When things went bad, though, he had no answers.
None.
He had no answers at all. And Mike Schilt does, Matty, seem to have some answers this year.
Mike Schilt has a pulse. He's got a fire. He's got something to say in a way that makes you feel something. I mean, Bob Melvin is an incredibly sweet, kind guy and obviously knows the game of baseball, and I wish him nothing but the best. But thank goodness he's out of that dugout and not on our team anymore. Good God. Schilt's working. He's, you know, these guys are playing on behalf of him. I just thought Bob Melvin was like a man wrapped in sulfate. Like you couldn't see him. You couldn't hear him. You couldn't feel him. It was nothing. This team he's a better fit for what's going on with this team. This is something I haven't seen in a while out of the Padres in a season that's going to be 162 games, in which this, you know, I like you said, Ben, I can't believe we're only 500. This feels like we're 8 games above 500, right, for the way it's going and the energy and the momentum. And I, you know, Waldron and Matsui and the stuff that's happening, this is building. This is fun.
I like where the direction is, certainly. I do. And I, you know, one thing about Schilt I've noticed, man, is like, and some people will say, I think the cynics will say, oh, he's making excuses. You know, he's wearing, the dude wears it for his players. And even if they have a bad night, well, at least he gave us some very Ben of him. You know what I mean? He's got a little Ben in him, but he's also got a little Woods in him too.
He's got the best of both of you.
That's right. And he'll go out and defend a poor outing. And like even the Hassan Kim boot he had last week, he's like, well, it came off hot and the seam just kind of got caught. And it's like, bro, he booted a ball. Like it's okay, it's going to happen. But there's something in him where his players got to appreciate that he's got their back and he's going to put them in a good situation the next time. And he believes in them. I think that's what is the most telling thing is he really believes in the guys that he has. Maybe to a fault sometimes.
Matt, I appreciate you getting up and giving us a call
this morning.
Thank you so much.
Guys, I appreciate you. Keep up the great work. And let's go Padres.
So you brought up the 9-9 record. I got a stat for you that I want to share when we come back. Something the Padres still need to accomplish here in 2024. We'll get to that. More of your phone calls, 833-288-0973, and we will talk about what was probably the signature win of the weekend. That would be Friday night's game, the come-from-behind extra-inning victory. The extra-inning victories that did not happen in 2023.
Oh. How about this? The Jackson Merrill game?
No, I think that's fair. I think that's fair to call it the Jackson Merrill game. We'll get to all of that coming up after a check of traffic. Do not go away. You are listening to the...
This is Jackson Merrill.
Home of the Padres and the home of Jackson Merrill. 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
833-288-0973. You want to join us for talking all Padres here this Monday morning after taking 2 of 3 from the Dodgers. And series wins are good. Padres got 2 of them this week. Street documents in our YouTube chat say Padres need a sweep to take the next leap. And he's not wrong. The Padres could use a sweep. They could use a multi-game winning streak.
I love, yeah, 5, 6, 7-game winning streak.
All of those things, you know, hopefully are coming for the San Diego Padres.
Win tonight.
But here's one thing they have not done all season long. This is probably going to surprise you. The Padres have yet to win on back-to-back days. Like consecutive days.
Oh, yeah. It's the.
Doesn't surprise me.
It does surprise me.
They've won 2 in a row 3 times, but one was the end of Korea and then opening day. And then the other 2 game winning streaks all had a day off.
Series finale, day off,
and then the series opener like they did this week with the Cubs win on Wednesday and the Dodgers win on Friday. The Padres, through 18 games, have yet to win on back to back days.
Crazy.
During this season. So. You'd like to see them put together a run of consistency every single day where they get it done. It looks like this team should have it in them. But as of now, we have yet to see that. They have not won more than 2 in a row. They have not lost more than 2 in a row. It has just been kind of a like the EKG bouncing up and down for the San Diego Padres so far this season.
Yeah, for sure. And tonight's obviously a big one. And again, you know, a sweep would be fantastic. Fantastic.
Brewers are a very good team.
They are a good team.
At least they've gotten off to a really good start.
Correct.
Even without, you know, trading away your star pitcher can undermine things. We saw it happen to the Brewers when they traded Josh Hader away to the Padres a couple of seasons ago. Now you trade away Corbin Burns and you think, this team is ripe for a real year. But so far, they've gotten off to a really good start.
That's a 10-win baseball team that you're talking about right now in the Milwaukee Brewers. 10-4 right now, scoring a ton of runs there. Run differential, Benjamin, plus 31.
Wow.
Highest in
the National League.
I mean, only team higher, as we all predicted, in baseball. Only team higher than that, Kansas City Royals. Obviously, the Kansas City Royals.
Who couldn't have seen that one coming?
Who couldn't have seen that coming right now? But, so yeah, man, a really, really good team. Joe Musgrove, again, a huge, huge start for Joe. To get back on track after a not so great outing last time. He's kind of staggered his as well. So I guess he's due for a really good start.
In some ways, the Brewers early in the season have been better than the Los Angeles Dodgers, as have a number of teams. And that's not to say the Dodgers won't get their wins and be there at the end of the year. The top of their lineup is incredibly formidable. And they've all been pretty hot to start the year as well. Freddie Freeman's been a little down, but Mookie has been insanely hot. Shohei Ohtani is actually off to they had it in the ESPN broadcast last night.
Of course they did.
Best start of his career. And this is a career that includes multiple MVP awards. And this is the best start that he's had. Will Smith is leading all of baseball in average. At least he was going into the weekend. And Max Muncy is, he's hit home runs and, you know, hit over 250, which is all I think the Dodgers can really ask of him. That means, and Teoscar Hernandez has done well. So they have like six unbelievable hitters. But after that, their pitching's been only so-so. Their bullpen's been downright bad. And the bottom of their order has been an empty pit of production, which means that is a vulnerable team. That is not a complete baseball team. One that the expectations are nothing short of winning the World Series and probably sweeping when you get there. They have a lot of ways to go before they're anywhere near a team that I would say is a favorite to win the World Series, because they don't look like that so far.
Yeah, it's odd. I mean, we saw with our squad last year. What is that noise? Is that my computer?
Yeah. You want me to throw in a phone call here while you figure out your computer? Let's
what
go to
in
Nick.
The world is happening?
Nick, it's always good to hear from you on a Monday morning.
Okay.
Welcome to Ben and
Good
Woods.
Morning.
Yeah.
Hi, what's up, buddy?
Things all rapid fire real quick. Number one, I was so depressed to not be playing baseball Sunday morning.
Same.
Holy smokes. Walking around on a beautiful day Sunday thinking, like, what the heck is going on?
Perfect
here?
Day. But, perfect day for ball yesterday.
Perfect day. But, hey, I'll tell you what, those Padres fired me up. I got a thought that I think you guys will like. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, but the skipper that I played for in college was actually the coach of one Dave Roberts when he was at UCLA. And I was having a conversation with him. I think it might have been after the Grisham homer off Kershaw. And he made a point to me that has stuck with me over the years. He said, since when are the Dodgers the judge, jury, and executioner of playing the game right? And it was just so satisfying to see the baseball gods poetically just kind of stick it to them with Jerks and Profar. And amidst that ridiculous broadcast, I mean, it was just, and my final thing is, I'm okay with being the villain. I said this last year or maybe the year before, if we're going to be the bad guys that everybody hates and everybody can't stand to see win, bring it on.
Fine.
And I think just to piggyback on what you're saying, Mike Schilt, I would not have another guy be at the helm for that kind of season or whatever you want to call it for the Padres. So it's just really fun to see on Sunday, and I hope we can keep going.
Yeah, I've been a big fan so far as well. And again, we're going to do Friday night's game
next.
It begs an interesting question that I want to pose. Did Mike Schilt manage his ass off that night, or did his bullpen just perform for him? And do we give? I love giving credit to the manager.
Can you separate the two?
He looked like a genius. He looked like Connie Mack that night, right? Like, who's better than Mike Schilt managing that game to a dub?
You know
what?
You know who he looked like. Well, we'll get to that when we come back with Ben and Woods. Do not go anywhere. The Jackson Merrill game now on 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back. Can't hear this song without thinking of John Heyman for some reason, who did report along with Ken Rosenthal last night that Tommy Pham is close to signing a deal with the Chicago White Sox, of all teams. I think the White Sox are off to like a 2-13 start this year.
I think the worst offense in baseball potentially belongs to the Chicago White Sox. They have had so already. Moncada's out. They've got three or four guys that are out and out for extended periods of time. If you're Tommy, you need a job. You want to go play baseball professionally. And I guess what they are 2-13 right now with a -51 run differential, Ben. 2-13.
Tommy's just going to show up and start murdering people.
Dude, 100%. He's going to be like, this is unacceptable. But so if you're Tommy, you sign this deal to go get flipped at the deadline. Straight up. That's it. You need a job in the big leagues to show what you can do. And they're going to sign him to a minor league deal. So a lot of people saying, why didn't we do that? So the reason they signed him to a minor league deal is, from my understanding, if they had signed him to a major league deal, he needs to be added and in, you know, not in the lineup, but he's got work to do. He's got to get some live AB. So you sign him to a minor league deal. You don't have to pass him through waivers and all that stuff. So he's going to, but imagine he's a White Sox in uniform by the end of the week.
I mean, Padres still need a bat, but
yeah.
You're not taking Jerickson and Profar out of the lineup. That's for sure. He's too hot to even think about that right now.
But you could take Tyler Wade out of the lineup.
You could.
And,
you need a bat.
And you need a bat at some point when Manny's back. It looks like close, right? Like this week, maybe?
Yeah. He did more throwing back-to-back days, I think. Now, Mike Schilt did say, even when Manny comes back, it's probably going to be kind of a day on DH day, 2 days on DH day situation for at least a while.
Which is more than fine. Like, again.
So you still need someone who can play third base. I mean, you've got Eggy and you've got Wade. But if you sign someone else, you're going to have to drop one of those guys likely as well.
I don't. I mean, the only thing I can think of, because who's left? Brandon Belt, right? Brandon Belt then plays first. Crony slides to second. Kim goes
the third on days when Manny's DHing. That could work.
And you'd hate to take Jake Cronenworth off of first. How great he's playing.
He's playing well, but that makes more sense to me than Tommy Pham would. Just DHing, and you can't play Tommy at first or third.
No.
He's an outfielder, and you don't want to take Jurickson and his switch hitting, devastating bat out of the lineup. So Brandon Belt makes the most sense. The question is, can you get his price tag somewhere that keeps you under the luxury tax?
Yeah, you need to upgrade this bench. You have to upgrade this bench at this point and make yourself a little bit more formidable, Ben, in that lineup, because you saw that lineup roll out there on Saturday when Xander had a day off. And, you know, the bottom three, it's tough, you know. So I applaud all those guys. But you got bench players that are getting everyday starts. And I think, you know, Crony would do it and be fine and more comfortable there. And he'd go wherever they tell him to go. Wait, what happens to Xander, though? Xander goes to short.
Xander could go to short. And Kim third. Goes to everyone third. Just bumps around the diamond one.
Yeah, it's not ideal. It's not ideal, but you could do it. If you had to go every other day with Manny playing the field, you could do that.
All right. Well, we'll continue to think about that, but we're going to check traffic when we come back. Paulie, can you call up a couple of the highlights from Friday night? I want to hear.
Way ahead of you, my friend.
All right. Thank you. That's coming up next here after Kelly's traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
1-1 to Ohtani, hit hard in the air to left center. Merrill, long run in the gap, fading away from him, and he dives on the warning track to make the catch and end the inning. Wonderful play in the left center gap for Jackson Merrill to end the second. Hernandez swings, sends it in the air, center field not deep. Merrill charging in. He gets there. He makes the catch, and we go to the 11th at Dodgers Stadium, a 7-7 game. The left-hander set and ready, a look back at Azokar. Now the pitch, and Merrill swings, hits it hard through the left side, and a base hit. Azokar's rounding third. He's going to come in and score. And with two strikes, Jackson Merrill, an opposite field single to put the Padres in front. It's 8-7 in the 11th.
Rumble, young man, rumble.
Jackson Merrill coming through on Friday night as the Padres rally and win it in 11 innings, 8-7. But of course, wouldn't have even been possible if they had not held the Dodgers down multiple times throughout that game on Friday. And you asked the question, was the bullpen just that good, or was it Mike Schilt who was pulling off the absolute managerial job of the season so far in just dancing around the Dodgers lineup and using his relief pitchers to maximum effectiveness?
I'm telling you, man, I was hesitant to tweet out, you know, like, hey, great job at managing the bullpen tonight by Schilty. But, yeah, when you push the right buttons, you look like a genius. When you put in the wrong guy for one bad pitch, you look like a moron. And that's the nature of that game. That's why you know what that is for me? That's a learn. I'm learning at 48 years old. I told you at the beginning of the year, I just want to be a vessel. I just want to learn as much as I can. I'm learning. At that point, Mike Schilt is a great manager that night because his guys executed when they needed to. Period. The end. And I don't want to take credit from him. He absolutely put them in the best possible positions, but they also delivered by executing.
Yeah.
So. I'm just trying to, you know, like, who gets the credit?
Well, I mean, the players, first and foremost, always get the
but
credit.
But he 100% would have gotten the blame had they lost that game.
I get that.
You know?
The bullpen, ultimately, six innings, one hit. But what was unique was how he managed it. And, you know, bringing guys in situations, middle of the inning. It's even tougher to do now than it used to be because of the three batter rule. You have to dance around that with that Dodgers lineup and so many guys that can hurt you. Robert Suarez gets four outs for kind of the win and the save. You only get the win, but he kind of got both there in pitching the end of the 10th and the bottom of the 11th as well. And he did that all the way through on his bullpen on Friday night. And who it really reminded me of was Tony La Russa at his conscious World Series winning best.
Yeah.
And that is, of course, someone who Mike Schilt learned from in the Cardinals organization in managing a bullpen. And it used to kind of seem like it was a slog. You know, here comes Tony again. Here comes Tony again. And you can't do that anymore with the three batter rule. But Mike Schilt came as close as you could in modern baseball to absolutely getting the right pitchers in against the right batters in every situation. He set up his guys at least to have success. They still had to execute, but he set up his relief pitchers to have success in that game on Friday night, and they all delivered on Friday night.
Yeah, to a man. Colek, Matsui, Peralta, Cosgrove, and Suarez. Six scoreless inning, one hit, two walks in that span. Man, and when you get down to that extra inning, and with that runner's on second base, oh my God.
When they didn't score in the 10.
That was over. I mean, first of all,
in the ninth, when they've got the heart of the order coming up, right, in the ninth, you go, wow, dodge that bullet. Now you have to score and win in the 10th.
Yeah.
And when they didn't score and win in the 10th, you go, here we go again. Padres lost their first, 11 extra inning games last year or 12, whatever it was. And only won the last two at the very end of the season. It's here we go again.
You're talking about, you know, keeping the faith and all that through that. But with a team like the Dodgers is unable to score. Yeah, I mean, and again, I thought one's not going to be enough. You need multiple runs against these guys. Turns out one was plenty. Mookie Betts comes up with a chance to win it. And they didn't get the job done. So you take those where you can get them. I moved to my office in like the fifth inning. And my wife was asleep and everything. So I moved to my office and I was like, I can't leave. I had to sit and rot till that game ended, in the same chair that I was. I just wanted to be in bed watching that game. I could not leave. And, boy, they got it done. And that was exciting. That was as exciting as it got. And the battle back again, Jay Cronenworth home run, like, might seem meaningless at that time, but it just wakes the offense up a little bit. Next thing you know, tie ball game. Fernando Tatis Jr., the absolute owner
of Dodger Stadium. Haven't
barely
talked about him yet.
Barely talked about Fernando, and that massive, massive dong that he hit was just elite. It was so fun. Superstar.
It's a star moment for a star player.
That's it.
It was just unbelievable.
Been saying it all year. That's exactly what's got to happen. Your stars got to be stars. And Mike Schilt called him the next day. He said he's a stone cold killer. And he absolutely was.
I'll never have this feeling in my life, but I can't imagine there's really anything better than stepping up to the plate to a stadium full of booze directed squarely at you. And this happens to both Tatis and Manny at Dodger Stadium and other places, but more so at Dodger Stadium. To step up and have everybody just showering their hate upon you and then to respond with a big home run right after that. Can there be a better feeling than silence? I know, you know, electrifying your own crowd is unbelievable and the party. I think it's probably better to silence the other crowd, honestly. That the ones that hate you so much and then to deliver it in their faces was got to be sweet. And Tatis did it on Friday night. Now, it was only necessary, you could argue, after the two-out error by Xander Bogaerts that led to the three-run home run by Mookie Betts. And, I mean, should Xander have made that play? Of course. Should Michael King have thrown a better pitch, you know, in multiple situations? He got hurt by just about everybody in that lineup. Otani, Betts, Muncy, Hernandez, all homered off Michael King in that game.
Yeah, what's your concern level with Michael King, or do you just chalk it up to, hey, let's see how you do, you know, against the lineup? The guys had to run into the Dodgers a couple of times. Yeah, I mean, he wasn't great, but they're also very, very good. I don't know. I'm reserving judgment at this point on Michael King. There's
a fantastic start the outing before. 100%.
And there's a lot to like about Michael King. That lineup is nasty, and when you leave pitches down the middle, those guys will punish you, and they did. Congrats to the Padres for not only winning that game, but picking up their teammates. They have done a good job at picking up guys that have kind of let them down a little bit so far this season. So very, very cool. Very, very cool win on Friday. A nail-biter in April. I mean, a total nail-biter in April. I loved it.
So the Padres, we thought, you know, strength-wise, up-the-middle defense was going to be strong. Ha-Sung Kim has obviously gotten off to a tough start defensively. Xander made that error at second base. I knew there'd be an adjustment period for Xander. The Padres, though, have been hurt. They've allowed more unearned runs than any team in baseball.
Yeah, that's got to stop.
Yet they have more outs above average. So in some ways, they're the best defense in baseball. And in other ways, they've been the worst defense in baseball because ultimately, the point of the game is to prevent runs. And if you're allowing, if your errors are allowing more runs than anybody else's errors, you're playing the worst defense of all. Yeah. However, if you're also getting more outs and making better plays than the other team, you know they have the potential to be so much better. The surprise, of course, has been Jackson Merrill. And Paulie played the highlight of the catch that he made, probably his best play so far in center field.
For sure.
Of robbing Ohtani of extra bases there on Friday night.
Ohtani hit hard in the air to left center. Merrill long run in the gap, fading away from him, and he dives on the warning track to make the catch and end the inning. Wonderful play in the left center gap for Jackson Merrill to end the second.
The 0-2 hit off of Vesia. I mean, bro, that's such a big league AB. That's such a big league AB in that situation to drive in that go-ahead run. I'm just so impressed with him. So impressed with him. And, you know, like we talked about earlier, Ben, when I said Xander needs to be in the lineup on Saturday, if Xander is struggling at leadoff, move him down. I mean, he's got his money. Put Jackson Merrill in the top. You know, if you have a favorable matchup with a right-hander, let that kid lead off, dude. Don't we want him with more ABs right now?
It's certainly a... It's a small sample size through just 18 games for the Padres, but here are your center field outs above average leaders in Major League Baseball, according to Baseball Savant. Number one, Kevin Kiermaier, considered
standard,
one of the best defenders
always,
in all of baseball.
Always there.
Number two, Byron Buxton. When he is healthy, you certainly expect that of the Twins center fielder. Number three, Jackson Merrill.
That's unreal, man.
Number three, in the same company as Kevin Kiermaier and Byron Buxton, ahead of guys like Julio Rodriguez and James Outman and Corbin Carroll. The guy had not played center field until the day we were at spring training when they put him out there. Not one day in his life had he played center field. And now he is playing it on an elite level against the most elite center fielders in the world after just a month.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Insane what Jackson Merrill is doing both offensively and defensively so far in his career.
That catch was spectacular. That ball was barreled, just tailing away from him. It was great. The defense, though, yeah, it's making, I think, everybody insane right now. Toddy with that throw behind the run, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, guys, come on. Like, let's not try to do too much at all times. Like, there was a play last night. I know Tyler Wade was charging in on it, but had he waited, he could have tried to turn two. You're up three runs. He just said, I'm not doing this. I'm taking the out. Very, very smart. Collect those outs. Collect them. And we need to stop giving away outs, and we need to stop making it more difficult on our starting pitchers and our relievers with bad defense. And again, shoddy defense has got to be cleaned up. I don't know how you do it other than just keep grinding on it, hoping for opportunities. But you can't let that be your calling card, Ben. You got to get that cleaned up.
Padres did make one move before the start of the series, promoting Adrian Morejon from AAA El Paso and DFAing Pedro Avila. I have not heard. I think today or tomorrow is you find out whether he passes through waivers and accepts an assignment back to AAA or if he's claimed.
Avila.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or whether he'll be claimed because he didn't have any options left. So he could be claimed by another team. And I think we'll find out either today or tomorrow what his status would be. My guess would be if they can, they'd love to send him down to AAA and have him available to call up if they ever needed a long man, you know, spot start. But that's not up to them anymore. If another team claims him, they can steal Pedro Avila. But I think the story here, though, is Adrian Morejon, who, you know, battled to make the team, had a pretty good spring training, was sent down to AAA, and clearly been working on a sweeper. Yet another Ruben Niebla sweeper that he's been working on, and he uncorked that in his first outing against the Dodgers this weekend. And, I mean, fingers crossed, looks like Adrian Morejon might have added some value to himself here. You know, he's still obviously he's left-handed. He throws hard. It's a pretty devastating combination, but he was always missing that one pitch. If they figured that out, you know, I'm not going to say sky's the limit for Adrian Morejon, but he certainly looks more like a big leaguer you know, arm than he has in the past in his other appearances with the Padres.
Yeah, it's interesting to look at the bullpen and how it's constructed right now. It's pretty lefty heavy. So, but I've loved what I've seen from De Los Santos.
Which is good, like, when you have a righty heavy rotation.
100%.
A lefty heavy bullpen is probably the way to go.
Yeah, and you wonder what kind of role Adrian could actually, you know, if Joe goes out and gets, you know, doesn't have his sharp stuff tonight, could Adrian Morejon possibly give you some length? You know, maybe three and a third, 3 2/3, something like that to eat up some of those middle innings. Not that I want that for Joe, but you just kind of wonder what everybody's roles are going to be. It feels 7, 8, 9. We've got that locked down. Like, we've got, you know, De Los Santos, Matsui, Suarez, obviously, and Wandy Peralta. Those guys look pretty good.
Speaking of eating up things.
Oh, F.
Woods made an off-the-cuff promise on Friday when it came to the Padres winning the series. And he's going to pay that off. When we come back with Ben and Woods on 97.3, The Fan. You can't hear this song without thinking of John Heyman for some reason, who did report along with Ken Rosenthal last night that Tommy Pham is close to signing a deal with the Chicago White Sox, of all teams. I think the White Sox are off to like a 2-13 start this year.
I think the worst offense in baseball potentially belongs to the Chicago White Sox. They have had so already. Moncada's out. They've got three or four guys that are out and out for extended periods of time. If you're Tommy, you need a job. You want to go play baseball professionally. And I guess what he's, I mean, they are 2-13 right now with a -51 run differential, Ben. 2-13.
Tommy's just going to show up and start murdering people.
Dude, 100%. He's going to be like, this is unacceptable. But so if you're Tommy, you sign this deal to go get flipped at the deadline. Straight up. That's it. You need a job in the big leagues to show what you can do. And they're going to sign him to a minor league deal. So a lot of people saying, why didn't we do that? So the reason they signed him to a minor league deal is, from my understanding, if they had signed him to a major league deal, he needs to be added and in, you know, not in the lineup, but he's got work to do. He's got to get some live AB. So you sign him to a minor league deal. You don't have to pass him through waivers and all that stuff. So he's going to imagine he's a White Sox by the in uniform by the end of the week.
I mean, Padres still need a bat, but
yeah.
You're not taking Jurickson Profar out of the lineup. That's for sure. He's too hot to even think about that right now.
Well, you could take Tyler Wade out of the lineup.
You could.
And
you need a bat.
You need a bat at some point when Manny's back. It looks like close, right? Like this week, maybe.
Yeah, he did more throwing back-to-back days, I think. Now, Mike Schilt did say, even when Manny comes back, it's probably going to be kind of a day-on DH day, 2 days on DH day situation for at least a while.
Which is more than fine. Like, again,
so you still need someone who can play third base. I mean, you've got Eggy and you've got Wade, but if you sign someone else, you're going to have to drop one of those guys likely as well.
I mean, the only thing I can think of, because who's left? Brandon Belt, right? Brandon Belt then plays first. Crony slides to second. Kim goes
the third on days when Manny's DHing.
That could work. And you'd hate to take Jake Cronenworth off of first. How great he's playing.
He's playing well, but that makes more sense to me than Tommy Pham would. Just DHing, and you can't play Tommy at first or third.
No.
He's an outfielder,
right.
And you don't want to take Jurickson and his switch hitting, devastating bat out of the lineup. So Brandon Belt makes the most sense. The question is, can you get his price tag somewhere that keeps you under the luxury tax?
Yeah, you need to upgrade this bench. You have to upgrade this bench at this point and make yourself a little bit more formidable, Ben, in that lineup, because you saw that lineup roll out there on Saturday when Xander had a day off. And, you know, the bottom three, it's tough, you know. So I applaud all those guys. But you got bench players that are getting everyday starts. And I think, you know, Crony would do it and be fine and more comfortable there. And he'd go wherever they tell him to go. Wait, what happens to Xander, though? Xander goes to short.
Kim, Xander could go to short.
And Kim third. Goes to
everyone
third.
Just bumps around the diamond one.
Yeah, it's not ideal. It's not ideal, but you could do it. If you had to go every other day with Manny playing the field, you could do that.
All right, well, we'll continue to think about that, but we're going to check traffic when we come back. Pauly, can you call up a couple of the highlights from Friday night? I want to hear.
Way ahead of you, my friend.
All right, thank you. That's coming up next here after Kelly's traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
1-1 to Ohtani, hit hard in the air to left center. Merrill, long run in the gap, fading away from him, and he dies. dives on the warning track to make the catch and end the inning. Wonderful play in the left center gap for Jackson Merrill to end the second. Hernandez swings, sends it in the air, center field not deep. Merrill charging in. He gets there. He makes the catch, and we go to the 11th at Dodger Stadium. A 7-7 game. The left-hander set and ready. A look back at Azokar. Now the pitch, and Merrill swings, hits it hard through the left side and a base hit. Azokar's rounding third. He's going to come in and score. And with two strikes, Jackson Merrill, an opposite field single to put the Padres in front. It's 8-7 in the 11th.
Rumble, young man, rumble.
Jackson Merrill coming through on Friday night as the Padres rally and win it in 11 innings, 8-7. But of course, wouldn't have even been possible if they had not held the Dodgers down multiple times throughout that game on Friday. And you asked the question, was the bullpen just that good, or was it Mike Schilt who was pulling off the absolute managerial job of the season so far in just dancing around the Dodgers lineup and using his relief pitchers to maximum effectiveness?
I'm telling you, man, I was hesitant to tweet out, you know, like, hey, great job at managing the bullpen tonight by Schilt. But yeah, when you push the right buttons, you look like a genius. When you put in the wrong guy for one bad pitch, you look like a moron. And that's the nature of that game. That's why you know what that is for me? That's a learn. I'm learning at 48 years old. I told you at the beginning of the year, I just want to be a vessel. I just want to learn as much as I can. I'm learning. At that point, Mike Schilt is a great manager that night because his guys executed when they needed to. Period. The end. And I don't want to take credit from him. He absolutely put them in the best possible positions, but they also delivered by executing. Yeah. So. I'm just trying to, you know, like, who gets the credit?
Well, I mean, the players, first and foremost, always get the
credit.
But
he 100% would have gotten the blame had they lost that game.
I get that.
You know?
The bullpen, ultimately, 6 innings, 1 hit. But what was unique was how he managed it. And, you know, bringing guys in situations, middle of the inning. It's even tougher to do now than it used to be because of the 3-batter rule. You have to dance around that with that Dodgers lineup and so many guys that can hurt you. Robert Suarez gets 4 outs for kind of the win and the save. You only get the win, but he kind of got both there in pitching the end of the 10th and the bottom of the 11th as well. And he did that all the way through on his bullpen on Friday night. And who it really reminded me of was Tony La Russa at his conscious World Series winning best.
Yeah.
And that is, of course, someone who Mike Schilt learned from in the Cardinals organization in managing a bullpen. And it used to kind of seem like it was a slog. You know, here comes Tony again. Here comes Tony again. And you can't do that anymore with the 3-batter rule. But Mike Schilt came as close as you could in modern baseball to absolutely getting the right pitchers in against the right batters in every situation. He set up his guys at least to have success. They still had to execute, but he set up his relief pitchers to have success in that game on Friday night, and they all delivered on Friday night.
Yeah, to a man. Kolek, Matsui, Peralta, Cosgrove, and Suarez. 6 scoreless innings, 1 hit, 2 walks in that span. Man, and when you get down to that extra inning, and with that runner's on second base, oh my God.
When they didn't score in the 10th.
Oh, it was over.
First of all, in the 9th, when they've got the heart of the order coming up, right, in the 9th, you go, wow, dodge that bullet. Now you have to score and win in the 10th.
Yeah.
And when they didn't score and win in the 10th, you go, here we go again. Padres lost their first, 11 extra inning games last year or 12, whatever it was. And only won the last 2 at the very end of the season. It's here we go again.
You're talking about, you know, keeping the faith and all that through that. But with a team like the Dodgers is unable to score. Yeah, I mean, and again, I thought one's not going to be enough. You need multiple runs against these guys. Turns out one was plenty. Mookie Betts comes up with a chance to win it. And they didn't get the job done. So you take those where you can get them. I moved to my office in like the 5th inning. And my wife was asleep and everything. So I moved to my office and I was like, I can't leave. I had to sit and rot till that game ended in the same chair that I was. I just wanted to be in bed watching that game. And I could not leave. And boy, they got it done. And that was exciting. That was as exciting as it got. And the battle back again, Jay Cronenworth home run, like might seem meaningless at that time, but it just wakes the offense up a little bit. Next thing you know, tie ball game. Fernando Tatis Jr., the absolute owner
of Dodger Stadium. About
yeah,
yet.
Barely talked about Fernando, and that massive, massive dong that he hit was just elite. It was so fun. Superstar.
A star moment for a star player.
That's it.
It was just unbelievable.
Been saying it all year. That's exactly what's got to happen. Your stars got to be stars. And Mike Schill called him the next day. He said he's a stone cold killer. And he absolutely was.
I'll never have this feeling in my life, but I can't imagine there's really anything better than stepping up to the plate to a stadium full of booze directed squarely at you. And this happens to both Tatis and Manny at Dodger Stadium and other places, but more so at Dodger Stadium. To step up and have everybody just showering their hate upon you and then to respond with a big home run right after that. Can there be a better feeling than silence? I know, you know, electrifying your own crowd is unbelievable and the party. I think it's probably better to silence the other crowd, honestly. That the ones that hate you so much and then to deliver it in their faces was got to be sweet. And Tatis did it on Friday night. Now, it was only necessary, you could argue, after the two-out error by Xander Bogaerts that led to the three-run home run by Mookie Betts. And, should Xander have made that play? Of course. Should Michael King have thrown a better pitch? You know, in multiple situations, he got hurt by just about everybody in that lineup. Otani, Betts, Muncy, Hernandez, all homered off Michael King in that game.
Yeah, what's your concern level with Michael King, or do you just chalk it up to, hey, let's see how you do, you know, against the lineup? The guys had to run into the Dodgers a couple of times. Yeah, I mean, he wasn't great, but they're also very, very good. I don't know. I'm reserving judgment at this point on Michael King. There's
a fantastic start the outing before. 100%.
And there's a lot to like about Michael King. That lineup is nasty, and when you leave pitches down the middle, those guys will punish you, and they did. Congrats to the Padres for not only winning that game, but picking up their teammates. They have done a good job at picking up guys that have kind of let them down a little bit so far this season. So very, very cool. Very, very cool win on Friday. A nail-biter in April. I mean, a total nail-biter in April.
So,
I loved it.
So the Padres, we thought, you know, strength-wise, up-the-middle defense was going to be strong. Ha-Sung Kim has obviously gotten off to a tough start defensively. Xander made that error at second base. I knew there'd be an adjustment period for Xander. The Padres, though, have been hurt. They've allowed more unearned runs than any team in baseball.
Yeah, that's got to stop.
Yet they have more outs above average. So in some ways, they're the best defense in baseball. And in other ways, they've been the worst defense in baseball. Because ultimately, the point of the game is to prevent runs. And if your errors are allowing more runs than anybody else's errors, you're playing the worst defense of all. Yeah. However, if you're also getting more outs and making better plays than the other team, you know they have the potential to be so much better. The surprise, of course, has been Jackson Merrill. And Paulie played the highlight of the catch that he made. Probably his best play so far in center field.
For sure.
Of robbing Otani of extra bases there on Friday night.
Otani hit hard in the air to left center. Merrill long run in the gap, fading away from him, and he dives on the warning track to make the catch and end the inning. Wonderful play in the left center gap for Jackson Merrill to end the second.
The 0-2 hit off of Vesia. I mean, bro, that's such a big league AB. That's such a big league AB in that situation to drive in that go-ahead run. I'm just so impressed with him. So impressed with him. And, you know, like we talked about earlier, Ben, when I said Xander needs to be in the lineup on Saturday, if Xander is struggling at leadoff, move him down. I mean, he's got his money. Put Jackson Merrill in the top. You know, if you have a favorable matchup with a right-hander, let that kid lead off, dude. Don't we want him with more ABs right now?
It's certainly a small sample size through just 18 games for the Padres, but here are your center field outs above average leaders in Major League Baseball, according to Baseball Savant. Number one, Kevin Kiermaier. Considered
standard,
one of the best defenders
always,
in all of baseball.
Always there.
Number two, Byron Buxton. When he is healthy, you certainly expect that of the twin center fielder. Number three, Jackson Merrill.
That's unreal, man.
Number three, in the same company as Kevin Kiermaier and Byron Buxton, ahead of guys like Julio Rodriguez and James Outman and Corbin Carroll. The guy had not played center field until the day we were at spring training when they put him out there. Not one day in his life had he played center field, and now he is playing it on an elite level against the most elite center fielders in the world after just a month.
It's crazy.
It's pretty crazy. Insane what Jackson Merrill is doing both offensively and defensively so far in his career.
That catch was spectacular. That ball was barreled, tailing away from him. It was great. The defense, though, yeah, it's making, I think, everybody insane right now. Toddy with that throw behind the run, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, guys, come on. Like, let's not try to do too much at all times. Like, there was a play last night. I know Tyler Wade was charging in on it, but had he waited, he could have tried to turn two. You're up three runs. He just said, I'm not doing this. I'm taking the out. Very, very smart. Collect those outs. Collect them. And we need to stop giving away outs, and we need to stop making it more difficult on our starting pitchers and our relievers with bad defense. And again, shoddy defense has got to be cleaned up. I don't know how you do it other than just keep grinding on it, hoping for opportunities, but you can't let that be your calling card, Ben. You got to get that cleaned up.
Padres did make one move before the start of the series, promoting Adrian Morejon from AAA El Paso and DFAing Pedro Avila. I have not heard. I think today or tomorrow is you'll find out whether he passes through waivers and accepts an assignment back to AAA or if he's claimed. Or whether he'll be claimed because he didn't have any options left. So he could be claimed by another team. And I think we'll find out either today or tomorrow what his status would be. My guess would be if they can, they'd love to send him down to AAA and have him available to call up if they ever needed long man, you know, spot start. But that's not up to them anymore. If another team claims him, they can steal Pedro Avila. But I think the story here, though, is Adrian Morejon, who, battled to make the team, had a pretty good spring training, was sent down to AAA, and clearly been working on a sweeper. Yet another Ruben Niebla sweeper that he's been working on, and he uncorked that in his first outing against the Dodgers this weekend. And, I mean, fingers crossed, looks like Adrian Morejon might have added some value to himself here. He's still obviously he's left-handed. He throws hard. It's a pretty devastating combination, but he was always missing that one pitch. If they figured that out, you know, I'm not going to say sky's the limit for Adrian Morejon, but he certainly looks more like a big leaguer, you know, arm than he has in the past in his other appearances with the Padres.
Yeah, it's interesting to look at the bullpen and how it's constructed right now. It's pretty lefty heavy. So, but I've loved what I've seen from De Los Santos.
Which is good. Like, when you have a righty heavy rotation,
100%.
A lefty heavy bullpen is probably the way to go.
Yeah, and you wonder what kind of role Adrian could actually, you know, if Joe goes out and gets, you know, doesn't have his sharp stuff tonight, could Adrian Morejon possibly give you some length? You know, maybe three and two thirds, something like that to eat up some of those middle innings. Not that I want that for Joe, but you just kind of wonder what everybody's roles are going to be. It feels 7, 8, 9. We've got that locked down. Like, we've got, you know, De Los Santos, Matsui, Suarez, obviously, and Wandy Peralta. Those guys look pretty good.
Speaking of eating up things.
Oh, F.
Woods made an off-the-cuff
it was flippant
promise on Friday when it came to the Padres winning the series. And he's going to pay off. When we come back with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.